big college football weekend. I know last weekend you were saying that everybody, a lot of people were looking at last weekend, which lived up to it.
It was.
But this weekend, yeah, it was, you know, great. Some people might say this one's even bigger than last weekend. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, Falcons, you know, is this a prove-it game to you? Because I look at this as a prove-it game to me when I look at this game right here. I think that, and I'm not saying that Seattle's world beaters or anything like that. I look at this as a prove-it game. Go get this one. You know what I mean? Like, they need to win it. I'm not saying everything's a must win, but they need to go get this win.
Yeah.
They need to go get this
win. It's not the same thing to me as last week where you're playing against just in a completely inferior team in Carolina. But Seattle's inferior to the Falcons.
Yeah.
Like, the Falcons are better than the Seahawks are. And, you know, I think that the areas that they're inferior as well is a place where the Falcons should be able to take advantage of. Like, the Seahawks are not good on defense. They've been destroyed the last 3 weeks when they've played real opponents. They're 3-3. You got to kind of look at the details of that 3-3, right? They got off to a 3-0 start against a very fortunate, I mean, a rookie quarterback week one. They played the post-Dolphins Tua the very first week after that.
Yes.
Like, they barely beat the Patriots, who suck, like, in week two. So, like, they're all right. They got some spots that are good. Like, Geno, if you don't get after him, can make you pay. Their running backs are talented. Geno's leading the league in passing, like through 6 weeks.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you don't pressure him, he's going to tear you apart. They got great wide receivers. And they got some guys on defense, but you should be able to do what you want to do against that defense. But yeah, it's similar to last week where it's like, all right, like, if it really is different, like, if you really are this team that you look like you have been the last couple of weeks and want people to think you are and want to be, then you welcome the Seahawks into Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
And you beat them.
And you beat them. And you know, I don't know, you're not going to blow teams out. It's the NFL for the most part. But you beat them convincingly because you're better than they are.
I agree. And these are those building blocks, those stepping stones of how you do your culture. You beat who you're supposed to beat. Now, we know any given Sunday, it can happen. I understand that. We get it. And like you were saying, Seattle has some really good players. They have some game-breaking players that can cause you problems. And obviously, we'll ask Jimmy Lake about some of their personnel. But everybody knows that these guys are household names, you know, and as far as their ability to make plays, to catch contested balls, to break tackles, to do all these different things. And so you always got to be on your stuff when as far as that part about it. But I look at this team. They're, in my opinion, I think the best teams. I know that the Vikings are undefeated. But I still think Detroit is the class of the NFC.
I do too.
I think, you know, I think they're there. And then I put them there, Minnesota behind them. And then I think if you look at the Falcons and Green Bay maybe and San Francisco, the way San Francisco playing this year now, a loaded San Francisco, I put them above the Falcons. But I think right there, those three teams somewhere circling for the third spot.
Yeah, I know it's funny. The Vikings are undefeated, and I still think the Lions are the best team in that division.
Yes.
And I think they're the best team in the conference right now.
They play this weekend, don't they?
They do.
Okay.
That's a big deal, though, losing that Aiden Hutchinson on that defensive line.
It really is, man.
Like, I know that the identity of that team is their offense for sure. They score a million points. They're very creative.
But he's a closer.
He's the guy. He's the guy on that defense.
I saw they just signed their D-tackle to some big money,
too.
But, no, you're right, Blanc. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson's that dude. Aiden Hutchinson is a defensive player of the year caliber player who was having his best year so far, man. And for him to go down, that's why, you know, you see everybody, they're the ultimate of all the pass rushers that are coming out. Their names comes, you know, when you talk about Hassan Reddick and Za'Darius Smith and those people like that. Because they need that. You know, I heard somebody say that they can't win a Super Bowl without Hutch. Don't believe that. I don't believe that. But damn it, it's going to be a lot harder without Hutch.
They might, yeah. That's sort of going under the premise that you thought they could win a Super Bowl with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. Exactly.
Maybe. But yeah, without him, it's going to be harder.
Yeah,
and obviously, it's the number one thing that if you were saying that you wish the Falcons could figure out or you wish they had or whatever. That would be it. Obviously, a dynamic pass rusher. They went out and got Matt Judon. He's been okay, but he hasn't been great thus far. I do think one thing that gets forgotten a little bit, I don't know how much of a difference he would have made. I'm not saying he would have been T.J. Watt or anything like that, but they did draft Braylon Trice in the third round, and Braylon Trice was supposed to be a big part of the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt, I think, in one of those split squad practices or whatever with the Dolphins way back in August, and he obviously hadn't been able to be a part of it. I was thinking about him for a couple of different reasons. One of them being it would be nice if the Falcons had him. Maybe it would help the pass rush. But more than that, the last time Texas lost, he was the biggest reason why.
Yeah, he was a wrecker.
Like, I know that game, people probably remember Penix and the offense and stuff like that. The reason that Washington got the lead they got was because Texas couldn't do anything offensively because Braylon Trice was living in Quinn Ewers' jersey. That's how Georgia can beat Texas on Saturday.
Yes.
Because I was like, when's the last time they lost? And obviously it's only been a few games to start this season, but last time they lost was in the playoff to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They had a great offense last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were a really good team last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't do anything offensively for the first three quarters of that game because Braylon Trice was a one-man wrecking crew.
Yeah, that's the thing about
– Georgia's supposed to have guys that are better than Braylon Trice.
He's supposed to have Williams. He's supposed to be ready. Number 11, this young boy who splashed on the scene and had a couple quiet games. Those two dudes got to get after it. I know they got some really good tackles at Texas. They were there last year.
They had really good tackles last year, too.
They got to get that defensive line, especially those edge rushers, have got to get after it in order for Georgia to have a shot in this game. I mean, and we'll continue to talk more and more about it, but I'm absolutely. Texas ain't seen nothing like this yet.
Mm-mm.
They haven't, and rightfully so.
Especially not on in terms of what Georgia has offensively.
They have not seen it, all right? And I don't think they have seen it. I mean, Oklahoma has a good defense.
I don't know. So does Michigan.
Yeah, so does Michigan.
And Georgia might not.
And I think Michigan's defense is probably better than Georgia. Maybe they got better personnel. But who knows? But, yeah, when you talk about going down to Austin and making this a game, Georgia, we talked about it. We'll continue to talk about it. They got to get off to a fast start offensively. They got to get out to a fast start. Last week, we saw they were trying to get Carson going. Hopefully, that can go over there. The biggest thing with Carson can have an interception. He can't be turning the damn ball over, especially in the damn scoring zone. Throwing an interception in the end zone. You know, either he gets it, or either I guy gets it, or nobody gets it. And so, Carson's got to play. And I ain't saying – I don't think Jordan's got to play a perfect game, because there is no such thing as a perfect game. But they got to play really good.
Yeah.
They got to play their best game of the year.
I also think – I don't know. I mean, sometimes when we talk about this, we go so far as to say, you know, this guy has to do this, but he doesn't have to be – I don't know, man. Like, I think Carson Beck does have to be. Like, I think Carson Beck has to be the best player in the game for Georgia to win this game.
Yeah.
I mean, does he have to be Superman? Whatever. Like, however you want to put it.
I just think he has to be the best Carson Beck.
He has to be great.
Yes.
Like, if they're going to win this game, he has to be great. And it's okay to say that.
Yeah.
Like, there's enough evidence now in this season for Georgia to say that they're inconsistent in a lot of different areas, including him. Like, he's an inconsistent player. But if they're going to beat Texas and they're actually going to turn this season from where it is now to another playoff team and another championship run and all that stuff, it comes back to him.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked about the Alabama-Georgia game, it was a referendum on Carson Beck, and he failed it.
Mm-hmm.
He just did. Mm-hmm. Like, I know he played better in the second half, but he played awful in the first, and the game ended on an interception that he threw.
Mm-hmm.
He failed that test. If he fails the test again on Saturday, they're going to have two losses.
Yes.
Like, that's just what it is.
He has to be the best Carson Beck. He can't be throwing the ball, but they got to help him.
Sure,
they got to catch the ball.
No doubt about
Aaron
it.
Smith,
no doubt about it.
Because Aaron Smith is going to get opportunities down the field.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to catch the damn football. All right? They are going to get opportunities to throw the ball down the field. They just got to make the play. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. Texas is going to make the damn play.
Texas is going to make some plays.
Yeah, Texas is going to make some plays.
Texas is going to make some plays.
Georgia's got to make the play when they're there. And they're going to be there. And so, you know, when you go back to, you know, the overall matchup, their lines of scrimmage are better than Georgia's right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Georgia has been better than everybody.
Where does Georgia have the advantage in this game? Because I think they have the advantage in one area that I haven't really heard talked about all that much, but maybe it's not the most important. The players on the field are the most important.
Yes.
They have the coaching advantage in this game.
I mean,
it's not close.
I think we all know that.
But no one talks about it.
Oh, yeah. I
don't know how this has happened, because some coaches don't avoid it, and Sark has been able to. Like, he's never won a big game, really. Like,
but we said the same thing about Dan Lanning last week,
and he
got it.
I know. But that's the funny little narrow margin of these things, though, right? Because if Ohio State doesn't shoot himself in the foot, then we're questioning Dan Lanning still, right?
Yeah, right, Dan, Kirby, I understand that.
Did Dan Lanning...
The job market is constantly changing, and at Bowling Green State University, we're evolving too, working with industries to develop innovative majors in education, engineering, business, and healthcare that will give you an edge when you enter the workforce. BGSU is ranked as the number one public university in Ohio for career preparation by the Wall Street Journal. Personalized career coaching, networking opportunities, and hands-on immersive learning set you up for success. That's the BGSU experience. Learn more at bgsu.edu/careerready.
Manning, like, proved, and I guess maybe if the 12 men on the field thing is real, then I guess he did. But, like, did Dan Lanning prove that he's not a questionable decision maker, or is Ryan Day just a more questionable decision maker?
I think Ryan Day's more of a questionable decision maker.
Yeah. And I think all these big games come down to stuff like that. And the reality is this. Like, everyone always wants it to be, no, my coach is savvy. And really, in those moments, it's a coach making a mistake more than it is a coach doing something brilliant.
But the thing about it is, it only seems like Kirby makes mistakes against one team. Kirby doesn't make mistakes in big moments anymore. They haven't lost to anybody but Alabama.
Right.
And I think it's out 50 games.
Right.
Only
right.
team has ever beat them.
Right. Sark wins games when his teams have the decided personnel advantage. I don't know that Sark has ever outcoached anyone in his life. And he not going to outcoach Kirby.
No.
Now, if they're way better from a personnel standpoint, then they'll beat Georgia. But I don't think they are. And if it comes down to a close game in the fourth quarter.
Which is going to be.
Yeah. Like, again, maybe I'm too close to it. I saw this guy coach a lot of close games and lose almost all of them when he was at Washington based on decision making and bad timeouts and over gambling and all kinds of stuff like that. Like, they've had really good teams for the last couple of years, so they haven't been in that many games like this. But when he's in close games, he still sees Sarkisian.
Sarkisian.
So he is. He is. And that's not a compliment. It's not a compliment.